Hare Krishna. So today is again a verse in prose, which I did as Ananta Rupa did yesterday. And before that, we will read the translation, and then let's see when I chant the verse if you understand it without the English translation. We'll do the word by word first. So, text 30 from chapter 18 of the canto 5. Om, my Lord, Namaha, respectful obeisances, Bhagavate, unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Akuparaya, in the form of a tortoise, Sarvasattva Guna Vishena Naya, whose form consists of Shuddha Sattva, transcendental goodness, Anupalakshitastanaya, and to you whose position is not discernible, Namaha, my respectful obeisances, Varshmane, unto you, although the oldest, are unaffected by time. Namaha, my respectful obeisances, Bhumne, to the Great One, who can go everywhere. Namaha, Namaha, repeated obeisances, Avastanaya, the shelter of everything. Namaha, respectful obeisances, Te, unto you. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the prose, Om Namo Bhagavate Akuparaya Sarvasattva Gunavishena Nayanu Palakshita Stanaya Namo Varshmane Namo Bhumne Namo Namo Vastanaya Namaste. Shall I read the translation? Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Oh my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who have assumed the form of a tortoise. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and being entirely untinged by matter, you are perfectly situated in pure goodness. You move here and here in the water, but no one can discern your position. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Because of your transcendental position, you are not limited by past, present, and future. You are present everywhere, as the shelter of all things, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Please repeat. Oh my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who have assumed the form of a tortoise. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and being entirely untinged by matter, you are perfectly situated in pure goodness. You move here and there in the water, but no one can discern your position. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Because of your transcendental position, you are not limited by past, present, and future. You are present everywhere, as the shelter of all things. And therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Again and again. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Goloka eva nivasat yat kilatma bhuto. The Lord always remains in Goloka, the topmost planet in the spiritual world. At the same time, He is all-pervading. This paradox is only possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulences. The Lord's all-pervasiveness is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, where Krishna states, Ishvaraha sarva-bhutanam riddhe-shirjuna-tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishta matasmiti jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and for me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Therefore, although the Lord is present everywhere, He cannot be seen with ordinary eyes. As Aryama says, the Lord is anupalakshitasthana. No one can locate Him. This is the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Gana Tini Randasya Gana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshu Nilitam Yena Tasmana Chinna Mukham Karati Vachalam Pankum Mangai Tegir Indat Kripata Maham Pandi Shikur Indi Natani Nam. So, before speaking, especially a significant person, I have to ask for the blessing. So, if you're not blessed, then you will have a good class. And one more thing now is that just as the sages of Naimisharanya in the first canto were praised by Suta Goswami, the success of the dialogue there, the Bhagavatam dialogue, was due to two factors mainly. They had carefully chosen the speaker, so I don't know about that today. But the audience was very qualified, so because of their eagerness to drink the nectar by oral reception. And in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Amala Purana, the perfect Purana, was spoken for the benefit of all. So, just for the sake of breaking the routine, we could read this one verse, for instance. Payam tu na vittipyam ma uttama shloka vikame yachchinvatam rasagyanam svadu svadu pade pade. The sages, they spoke to Suta Goswami, expressing their eagerness. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with Him relish hearing of Him, of His pastimes, at every moment. This is from the first canto, text 19, from the first chapter. And also, just in general for all of us, Rupa Goswami also, He gave this formula in his Padyavali, quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati Kriyatam Yadi Kuto Pilapyate Tatra Laulyam Api Mulyam Ekalam Janma Koti Sukite Nalapyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds of thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is intense greed to obtain it. It is available, so if it is available somewhere, I must purchase it without delay. So, that's for today as an introduction. Before going to the meal, some appetite must be there, and then all the nutrients of the prasadam, they will benefit us. And the Srimad Bhagavatam and also our japa, everything in our spiritual life benefits us to the extent that we have appetite. What happens if we eat without appetite? So maybe we're not going to digest anything, so there will be no benefit whatsoever. Or sometimes even it happens that you sit at a table but you can't eat. Or like, that would be really a pity, that we do the activities of devotional service but we're not really eating. So it's related to today's text, because Srila Prabhupada here especially focuses on this anupalakshita sthana, that Lord is not visible, he's not, nobody can locate him. That is the meaning of this expression. And we, how do we see the Lord? That's maybe the central theme for today. How can we see the Lord? That would be very, quite relevant to our life. Can you hear? Ah, that's your suggestion. Very nice. Yes. So that is certainly one very correct answer. So we are here now in Srimad Bhagavatam, and it was pointed out already by the text of the Bhagavatam already had pointed out that somebody can see Krishna in every page of the Bhagavatam. Somebody remembers? What kind of person? It's quite a famous text from the Bhagavatam. Maybe it comes to somebody's mind. But maybe you would like to see Krishna in every page of the Bhagavatam. So you may be interested to know which person. Remember? Beautiful, yeah, that's a good suggestion. What was particularly mentioned? Does it come to mind? If I remember, this is a paraphrase, but somebody who hears with rapt attention and proper submission. But also then this was said already in other verses also, that the Bhagavatam is really working for the truthful devotee, who also, that was the second text, right? Or also further on in the second chapter, Shinvatam, when the heart is being purified by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. When somebody hears the Bhagavatam, Shinvatam Srakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Ridyanta Staya Bhadana, Vidanuti Suritsatam. And when one cultivates this truthfulness, that's the first priority. For the very first, second verse of the Bhagavatam had made this statement also. Yeah. So then we will be able to see Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam, which is meant to happen. The magic is meant to happen. So why do sometimes devotees slacken in their enthusiasm of their practices once they have taken up this process? So sometimes it's said, there is this beautiful verse where that the devotees, once they have tasted the nectar of my lotus feet, they never give me up. And apparently still sometimes actually we seem to be giving up Krishna at certain points in our life, or diminishing, or it's also kind of giving up. So how come? So because we don't feel the process is working, I believe. So isn't it? Because if we have the higher taste, then we don't settle for any lower taste. So it's said also in the Bhagavad Gita that the taste remains, but you don't act upon that taste. You don't act upon the lower taste when you experience a higher taste. Yes, Krishna made that clear. Yeah. So yes, so maybe because the heart, we don't put the heart in it, or we are not, as the Bhagavatam said here, with rapt attention, which is not so easy to do, which takes some practice. But practice makes perfect. So therefore, if we repeatedly do an activity, is it possible to close the door? I'm so close. It's because there is a draft here in the temple. Thank you. So what is another way to see the Lord? So hearing is very good, and we want to come to the point of seeing through the eye of the Shastra. I was called Shastra Chaksha. So our eyes are quite imperfect. There is a Atashri Krishna Namadi, Nabavid Gayam Indri Sevon Loke Jivato Svayameva Spuratyada. Why is this verse so important? This is one of the key verses of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Because everybody in this culture now, we seeing is believing. When we see, then we believe. Can you show me? Otherwise I'm not convinced. Maybe then you're making up something. So, and then we qualify our senses for seeing the Lord. At least we want to perceive the Lord. So that's the topic of today's class. How to see the Lord in our life. So, yes, so we can even see the Lord. So acharyas, pure devotees, have seen the Lord. Not one time, many times. Every time they chant, they see the Lord. Because from the name comes the rupa, the form. That's the first thing that happens after we chant properly. So that was one thing. By proper hearing. Yes? You want to do this? Yes. By pleasing Krishna, by pleasing his devotees, so Krishna will, how, in which form, how will we will feel Krishna? We will.
Krishna will reveal himself.
And he will reveal.
I read the verses, but the verses in the Bhagavad Gita, those four verses where Krishna says, and he will reveal himself.
Yeah. Okay, very nice. Mataji Bhagavati is referring to the Chatushloki of the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna promises that he will give the intelligence by which we can see him. He will be revealed to us in our life when we serve Krishna with love. Priti Purvakam Nandadami Buddha Yogam Tam. So, yes, this is certainly. I was also thinking of one more that. Oh yes. Or you want to come up with something more? Yeah. So usually Krishna cannot be seen by our own endeavor, but when he is pleased with our endeavors, he may choose to reveal himself. There is this very famous verse from, where is that? Katar or some Upanishad, that nor by a lot of hearing, nor by a lot of speaking, learned speaking, or big austerities, the Lord can be seen, but he can be seen. He will be revealed to somebody he himself chooses. So that is when also it goes pretty much hand in hand, I would suggest, with developing love of God. So that one we got from the Paramasamhita, right? That, I mean, Videshu Durlaba Adurlaba Atma Bhakto. Learned scholars of the Vedas and mystic yogis, they cannot see Krishna so easily, right? Mm. But they can. But who can see Premanjana? Bhakti, Premanjana. Those whose eyes are anointed with prema, with the salve of love, ointment of love. So only then we can really see Krishna. So there is so many forms of Krishna, and maybe in this verse particularly two come to mind. The person Krishna himself, the highest realization for which we need prema, and then there is also the super soul. So we were speaking about seeing the Lord also by hearing. So there the intelligence comes in. So we are practicing Bhakti Yoga, and we're taking the help of the intelligence. Sometimes Bhakti Yoga is called Buddhi Yoga. Krishna uses the word himself in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So, keep all abominable activities far distant by practicing Buddhi Yoga, Krishna says. So, with our intelligence, we could also be in touch with the Lord. But what kind of intelligence? Because our intelligence serves many purposes, right? If I need some sweet, so then also I can use my intelligence for that. There's several ways of satisfying the tongue with a sweet. You can rob the pujari room, or you can take it from somebody's plate, or you can make it yourself and offer it with love and devotion, or you can buy it in the boutique. But so these two kinds of intelligence, we want to make a distinction between pure intelligence or purified intelligence, and the other one is polluted intelligence. So how to keep the intelligence? It's called papa buddhi, and it victimizes us time and again. Even we justify, maybe it may be even happen that we have indeed read the scriptures very nicely, and then we use them to justify our own sense gratification and to tell others off. So that's a very unfortunate procedure that may happen, and sometimes can happen. So papa buddhi versus pure or purified intelligence. So we have to keep intelligence pure by regular hearing, and not only regular hearing, but by proper hearing. Because if we would do regular hearing, very regular hearing, but for the wrong purpose, so then we will defeat the purpose of hearing very much. So therefore the hearing is said to, it has to be done in a submissive mood and with rapt attention. That means also with introspection. You could call that maybe the part of submission. You want to all... So how is it? There are some stages. There's the... You read yourself, devotional reading, but you also do nididhyasana, you meditate, you contemplate the meaning. The meaning of what you read, you contemplate. What does it mean? And what does it entail? Is that the word in English? What does it imply? So there... it has some consequences. This is not like we should engage with the reading. It's not so fabulous. Sorry, difficult. So I mean, it engages you. It binds you. It gives you responsibility, especially to apply it in your life. That's like a personal responsibility, right? You become responsible to apply it in your life because you know this is going to save me and protect me from harming myself. But then the next step in this responsibility is you share it with others, otherwise you're actually violent, according to Srila Prabhupada. You know how to save people from hellish suffering and you don't help them. Mm. So compassion. But compassion to yourself in the first place. So that will enable us to see Krishna. Because isn't it that when some bad thoughts comes stemming from what? The papa buddhi, the polluted intelligence. So we don't want to see the super soul. We think him out of our existence. One time I heard Radhanath Swami explain it like this. We don't like the super soul maybe to be around when something which is not so congenial comes to our mind. We would like to do something which we know is better not, but nevertheless he is there. So because our intelligence becomes polluted, so we come up with such a proposal of a thought that maybe now the super soul is not watching, but he is always. So such a responsible life. We're living with vows, which is not an easy thing. Or we're living with so much knowledge. Even before taking any vows, we live with so much knowledge, which helps you responsible. And you also have already gotten the information. We have gotten the information that what goes around, comes around. There's no coincidence. My God, I can't... I don't have any way to go here. And then... So once all these factors are there in our life, and they are there, so it's very important that we have our defense system up. So the only thing we could rely on would be this whole system of the mind with intelligence, which is a friend. So when this defense system is a friend, so we can use it, but as soon as it goes out of control and it turns against us, basically that's what's going on. So then, where to take shelter? Mm. So this shelter, we need shelter in our life, and here in the verse, the Lord is called this shelter. Four things is said about the Lord. He's the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. He's untinged by matter. He's not limited by past, present, and future. And he's the shelter of all things. So certainly, he's also a shelter for us. Now, some of these four can also be applied to us who are godly sparks or parts and parcels of Krishna. So are we also a reservoir of transcendental qualities? Are we? Well, we are like Krishna, we also have good qualities. So why do we learn the 64 qualities of Krishna? Well, we meditate to also develop such good qualities. He's giving an example to us. So are we untinged by matter? We try to not be tinged too much by matter. Identifying us with matter and identifying us as a spirit soul. And are we limited by past, present and future? Pretty much. But are we the shelter of all things? Well, we could become a little bit of a shelter, maybe to the extent we become a devotee who takes shelter of Krishna. Well, that point came up some time ago, even when there was a verse about can a husband protect his wife? And then it was said in that verse that a husband cannot protect his wife, but then the speaker, and I don't remember now who was the speaker, maybe somebody in the husband, that to the extent somebody is a devotee could do it. I mean, a surrendered devotee who nicely practices could do that for some time. That was some solas for all the grihasthas, that they have some service still to do. Yeah. So, So by taking shelter ourselves, so we could also give some shelter to, like, basically that's our job, our function. As a devotee, what did Lord Chaitanya expect from us? To become a guru. That means you give shelter to those who are less educated in the spiritual techniques of spiritual life. And for that, we have to make sure that we are sheltered ourselves, taking shelter of Krishna, but especially also of our guru. Yesterday, Anantaka Prabhu, he mentioned that it's a little bit far away, a humble statement, to see Krishna, but if we see our guru, between us and Krishna, so we see that Krishna through our guru, so, and especially also to his good advice, and that is our shelter in life. Good advice, good counsel, that is our real shelter. Because as long as we follow these instructions, we will be protected from our uncontrolled defense system, and we can stay on track, and the guru is holding a hand above our head, and then we will be able to not give in to the false ego, which is like the the big uproar, the rebel who is triggering this defense system to go against us, like the mind and the intelligence. So they sometimes deny Krishna's existence. And the topic of a class is to see Krishna. So in our life, how can we see Krishna? By always cultivating devotional service, which purify the mind and intelligence, and which is the only way of not acting upon the impulses of the false ego. We were speaking about envy, such a destructive force for a spiritual life. So if we are not very careful, then we're going to act upon envy. So envy will be there, and it's always showing its ugly face left and right. But if we can preach to ourselves and stop ourselves from acting upon it by keeping intelligence pure, and in this way seeing the dynamics of the false ego, who always finds an excuse to become angry, to take revenge, to put down somebody else, so you look better yourself. So this here it's very obvious how we can turn out into our own worst enemy. So the danger is not without Prahlad Maharaj, but they are within. And this is just what keeps us from seeing Krishna and experiencing then the happiness from our relationship with Him. So this was just some thoughts, like Krishna says here, and Prabhupada quotes in this purport, "From me come remembrance, intelligence and knowledge." So if we never can blame Krishna for forgetting Him, because that could be a good misquote, right? So, "But Krishna, you didn't give me remembrance of you. You said yourself in Bhagavad Gita that you give remembrance. I forgot you, and I did this stupid, foolish act in my life." Because He's doing that according to our desire. So if we desire to forget Him, if we insist on that, only then we will forget Him. So as a daily practice, reminding ourselves of Krishna's existence. So that's all what we do. And I think we mentioned sufficient hearing and also proper hearing. So we should do that endeavor. Even we are not able now to do the perfect hearing job, we are distracted sometimes. But also in chanting our rounds, even we can't chant our rounds, but imagine somebody says, "Well, I don't chant properly, so I'd rather do some more sweeping of the temple." That would be not bad, that the devotees would sweep more in this temple, but still, it would not be enough of a reason not to chant, right? But similarly, sometimes they would say, "Well, I can't focus my mind, so then I don't read." Well, if you really are too tired, we could hear some lecture. There's so many lectures now out there. But it's so important. We do the job. We try to become better at it. We try to be more attentive in classes. We try to be to remember more from classes, and then the next step, applying it in our life. But if you every day do a little of that, so you feel so nourished and you feel like you're marching forward. So that then you feel the process of Krishna consciousness is working, so then you keep going and also you become better at it. And at one point you go beyond that difficult hurdle of anartha nivritti, where the world becomes a little bit a better place because you come to the realm of steadiness in devotional service, and it's not such a drag, and you become very enthusiastic to do things spontaneously from your heart. Yeah. So maybe there are more thoughts on this from all of you, how to see the word, or other points related to today's text and purport. Thank you for your patience and attention. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Speaking of this morning, I was listening to a lecture, and one of the better ways to speak to the Lord is by Course in Mercy of the Kingdom. It's like this story of Anuja Charya with the man who was kind of completely infatuated with the woman. And Anuja Charya kind of told the same how beautiful this woman was, the Anuja Charya she's ever been before. Actually, it's something beautiful, and he took her to the temple to see the deity. And that Anuja Charya gave him the eyes through which to really see the deity, and he came alone. But that was just by the Course of Mercy of the true body, in which he actually could see the deity, actually could see Krishna and the beauty of him. So that is another, which personally I find is kind of very difficult in my mind, because I don't see any reason why I shouldn't be there. So
okay, yeah. Yeah, by the way, pretty much, I think this equals also pretty much the level of bhava, that you get some idea of Krishna, or maybe it's technically it's prema, but but it's explained in a nectar of devotion that sometimes by somebody, by the mercy of a devotee or Krishna directly, one can get there to such high levels. And I forgot one quote. I wanted to back up what I said just now about why it's so important to control the mind, because that's because Krishna says in the in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that those who have conquered the mind, they've attained tranquility and the super soul is already reached. So they can see at least the super soul. So that one of the two darshans. Thank you very much. Yeah. So, so Lord Chaitanya is contradicting Krishna, isn't it?
And Nityananda especially.
And especially Nityananda is not following Krishna's instructions. Yes, so, yes, Srila Prabhupada, I think, if I remember well, correct me if I'm wrong, Srila Prabhupada, somewhere in one of these purposes he mentions, the devotee is more merciful, like Nityananda, he comes as a devotee, and Lord Chaitanya also. But then also Srila Prabhupada even more. So, I mean, he's more merciful than the Lord, and he is he understands the heart of the Lord. What is the heart of the Lord? He wants all his friends come back to him. By the way, we are those friends. Mm. So therefore the devotee, he kind of takes risks. He takes the risk of disobeying the order of his supreme master and Lord, Krishna, to please him. Just like the class, like in a public class, one shares like the glories of the holy name, which is no offense to the holy name, but in public classes it is being done. Sometimes there is something is being revealed, but on a one-to-one basis, one must be more cautious. Like if obviously somebody is not ready to take, so Yadananda Swami summarized it nicely recently about speaking. One should speak only. To the extent the other one is willing to hear, one should speak only as much as the audience is willing to hear. I mean, when you are one-on-one, it's very easy to determine. Yeah. So, yes, Lord Chaitanya is in that mood, and Nityananda more so, and the Guru more so, in sharing this confidential knowledge. Although it should not be shared with those who are not austere, who are not devotees. Eh? Krishna said that in the Bhagavad Gita. And we know from this, ten offenses of the holy name, one, it's an offense to instruct the faithless, but basically almost everybody is faithless. But then of course some are innocent and misguided, and there the devotee can make a difference. But he's also so expert that he gives them just like little drops and tries to trigger their attention, and then that expertise is so much required. In that class of Yadananda Maharaj, we spoke elaborately on that. Yeah. We can't come down heavy on them because they will feel offended. Ah, you know everything so much better. And then there is no conveying of the mercy. We're defeating the purpose. It's not happening then. But if we somehow or other can be such a good example, I mean, everybody is attracted to a wonderful person. So what is a devotee? A perfect gentleman, Srila Prabhupada said. So, yes, we may not be there right now, but then also, to the extent we are not there, we should be careful in order to preach. I mean, preaching is very much by being a nice person. That was what I got from that class. It's much more about behavior than about speaking. Actually, Radhana Swami one time said, you should preach morning till evening, every day, And sometimes you should also say something. So maybe sometimes we've seen other paradigms. Somebody is very talkative, and then not so well behaved. So we can reverse that process sometimes. And then, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. I had some nectar here to share in this connection. I almost forgot. We are in New York. Bowery is on 2nd Avenue. 26 seconds. Okay. So here we are. Now today we shall begin the 4th chapter, what Lord Krishna says to Arjuna in New York. His lecture is very basic and yet, for restless youth, heavily philosophical. Some can't take it and they rise rudely upon hearing the Swami's first words, put on their shoes at the front door and return to the street. Others have left as soon as they saw the singing was over. Still, this is the best group yet. A few of the Bowery congregation are present. So we are not anymore in the Bowery. These were the previous congregations. So yeah, we are in 26 Second Avenue, I think. The boys from Mott Street are there, and they are specifically looking for a guru. Many in the group have already read Bhagavad Gita, and they are not too proud to hear and admit that they didn't understand it. Some are not too proud to admit that they did not understand what they had heard before. It's another hot and noisy July evening outside his door. Children are on summer vacation and they stay out on the street until dark. Nearby, a big dog is barking. Rah, rah, rah. The traffic creates constant rumbling just outside the window. Little girls are shrieking and all this makes lecturing difficult. You can imagine? Noise, cars. This is New York. Yet despite the distraction of children, traffic and dogs, he wants the door open. If it is closed, he says, why is it closed? People may come in. He continues, undaunted, quoting Sanskrit, holding his audience and developing his urgent message, while the relentless cacophony rivals his every word. He's in a competition with the outside noise. Rah, rah, rah. Eek, yeah. Shrieking like little Spanish witches. The girls disturb the whole block. I'll skip a little part. The cars are always passing, roaring and rumbling through every word Prabhupada speaks. The door is open and he is poised at the edge of a river of carbon monoxide. Asphalt, rumbling tires and constant waves of traffic. He has come a long way from the banks of the Yamuna in Vrindavan, where great saints and sages have gathered through the ages to discuss Krishna consciousness. But his audience lives here amid this scene. So he has come here beside Second Avenue's rushing river of traffic to speak loudly the ageless message. He is still stressing the same point. Whatever you do in Krishna consciousness, however little it may be, is eternally good for you. Yet now, more than uptown or on the Bowery, he is calling his hearers to take to Krishna consciousness fully and become devotees. He assures them, and here Srila Prabhupada is speaking, anyone can become a devotee and friend of Krishna, like Arjuna. You will be surprised that Lord Chaitanya's principal disciples were all so-called fallen in society. He appointed Haridas Thakur to be the highest position in his spiritual mission, although he happened to take birth in a Muhammadan family. So there is no bar for anyone. Everyone can become spiritual master, provided he knows the science of Krishna. This is the science of Krishna, this Bhagavad Gita. And if anyone knows it perfectly, then he becomes a spiritual master. And this transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, will help us by cleaning the dust from the mirror of our mind. On the mind we have accumulated material dust, just like on Second Avenue. Due to the constant traffic of motor cars, there's always a creation of dust over everything. Similarly, by our manipulation of materialistic activities, there are some material dusts which are accumulated on the mind, and therefore we are unable to see things in true perspective. So this process, the vibration of a transcendental sound, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, will cleanse the dust. And so as soon as the dust is cleared, then as you see your nice face in the mirror, similarly you can see your real constitutional position as spirit soul. In Sanskrit language, it is said, Bhava Mahadavagni. Lord Chaitanya said that. Lord Chaitanya's picture you have seen in the front window. Gopalim is coming. He is dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. So it doesn't matter what a person was doing before, what sinful activities. A person may not be perfect at first, but if he's engaged in service, then he will be purified. You want to hear the last part also? It's about... Okay, suddenly a Bowery derelict enters. You know what's a derelict? Okay, say it in French. Or in English. Okay. A derelict. Whistling and drunkenly shouting. The audience remains seated, not knowing what to make of it. The drunk. Haya! I'll be right back. I brought another thing. Prabhupada. Don't disturb. Sit down. We are talking seriously. The drunk. I'll put it up there. In a church? All right. I'll be right back. The man is white-haired with a short grizzly beard and frowsy clothing. His odor reeks through the temple. But then he suddenly careens out the door and is gone. Prabhupada chuckles softly and returns immediately to his lecture. So it doesn't matter what a person was doing before, if he engages in Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, it should be concluded that he is a saint. He's a saintly person. Apichet, Sudharam Charo. Never mind if he may have some external immoral habit due to his past association. It doesn't matter. Some way or other, one should become Krishna conscious, and then gradually he will become a saintly person as he goes on executing this process of Krishna consciousness. There is a story about how habit is second nature. There was a thief and he went on pilgrimage with some friends. So at night, when the others were sleeping, because his habit was to steal at night, he got up and was taking someone's baggage. But then he was thinking, oh, I have come to this holy place of pilgrimage, but still I am committing theft by habit. No, I shall not do it. So then he took someone's bag and put it in another's place. And for the whole night, the poor fellow moved the bags of the pilgrims from here to there. But due to his conscience, because he was on a holy pilgrimage, we can read, because we took to Krishna consciousness. He did not actually take anything. So in the morning, when everyone got up, they looked around and said, where is my bag? I don't see it. And another man says, I don't see my bag. And then someone says, oh, there is your bag. So there was some row. So they thought, what is the matter? How has it so happened? Then the thief rose up and told all of the friends, my dear gentlemen, I am a thief by occupation. And because I have that habit to steal at night, I couldn't stop myself. But I thought, I have come to this holy place, so I won't do it. Therefore, I placed one person's bag in another man's place. So please excuse me. So this is habit. He doesn't want to, but he has a habit of doing it. He has decided not to commit theft anymore, but sometimes he does. Habitually. So Krishna says that in such conditions, when one who has decided to stop all immoral habits and just take to this process of Krishna consciousness, if by chance he does something which is immoral in the face of society that should not be taken account of, in the next verse Krishna says, Kshipram Bhakti Dharmatma, because he has dovetailed himself in Krishna consciousness, it is sure that he will be saintly very soon. And now the last part of the... And then we finish. Suddenly the old derelict returns, announcing his entrance. Haya! And then he is carrying something. He maneuvers his way through the group straight to the back of the temple where the Swami is sitting. He opens the toilet door, the toilet room door, puts two rolls of bathroom tissue inside, closes the door, and then turns to the sink, sits some paper towels on top of it, paper towels for washing, drying hands, and puts two more rolls of bathroom tissue and some more paper towels under the sink. He then strands and turns around toward the Swami and the audience. The Swami is looking at him and asks, what is this? The bum is silent now. He has done his work. Prabhupada begins to laugh, thanking his visitor who is now moving toward the door. Thank you. Thank you very much. The bum exits. Just see, Prabhupada now addresses his congregation. It is a natural tendency to give some service. Just see, he is not in order. He's drunk. But he thought that, here is something, let me give some service. Just see how automatically it comes. This is natural. The young men in the audience look at each other. This is really far out. First the chanting with brass cymbals. The Swami looking like Buddha and talking about Krishna and chanting. And now this crazy stuff with the bum. But the Swami stays cool. He's really cool. Just sitting on the floor, like he's not afraid of anything, just talking his philosophy about the soul and us becoming saints, and even the old drunk becoming a saint. After almost an hour, the dog still barks and the kids still squeal. And Srila Prabhupada was still tolerant, and we are still trying to become Krishna conscious day after day. Thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, 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 Prabhupada ki jai,